Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, when you think of an athlete, you could think of the positive role model athlete, the leader on the field or on the ball court, the upstanding person that a child, yours or mine, or a grandchildren could look up to. But then you could also think of perhaps the O.J. Simpson types or the Bruce Jenners of the athletic world who have different lives and not necessarily the model that you'd have your children look up to. So what makes the difference and what makes an athlete worth looking up to? Well, there is one organization of athletes who develop young leaders. They encourage athletes to be worthy of being an example. That organization is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And we're going to talk with Jeff Martin in the first two segments today. He's the executive director of the ministry advancement there for FCA. And in just a few moments, we're going to find out some exciting things about that organization and what they are doing to help train the next generation. Now, in segment three, we're going to move to the issue of a revelation yesterday afternoon that government is listening in on journalists. But we're going to ask the question, why and at what risk? And we'll engage this constitutional and practical consideration with our constitutional attorney and historian David New in that segment. Then in the last segment, then we're going to look briefly at providing some very basic biblical guidelines for speech and speaking, just in case someone is listening in. And they are. So how do we affect our lives? And we're going to talk about that. So you're not going to want to miss any of today's Stand in the Gap Today. And with that, I introduce myself. I'm Sam Rohr. And today it'll be Dave Kistler and myself. And we welcome you to today's program. We are thrilled that you are with us. On Stand in the Gap Today, we try to have the very best guests, those who are trustworthy, expert in their field, who we believe have something worthy of saying. And we are committed on Stand in the Gap Today to bringing you information on the key issues of the day. Some are things you might not even ever hear on controlled media, with guests that you may or may not have heard on the regular media. But one thing we always give you, and that's a truthful perspective, grounded in biblical truth and constitutionally considered, as frankly both are needed to accurately evaluate the key issues of the day. And such will be today's program. And with that, I'd like to invite in right now Jeff Martin. He is the Executive Director of Ministry Advancement for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Jeff, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, Sam's great to be here. I hope there's governments listening in on what we're having to talk about here because it's really good news.
Well, you know, that's going to be part of it. We're going to close the program. Watch what you say. But if you say the truth, you don't have a whole lot to worry about. So we're going to talk about more of the truth today. Jeff, yeah. Fellowship of Christian Athletes is something, it's an organization that probably most of our listeners have heard about. The likelihood of actually meeting somebody who is actually a part, probably a lot less. But tell us just briefly as we start the program, what is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes? And when you're talking about you're the Director of Ministry Advancement, what are you trying to advance?
Well, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, our vision statement, I think you always you want to know an organization, look what their vision statement is, the target of where they say, hey, this is how we win. And our vision is this. It's to see the world impacted for Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes. Simple as that. And that means a lot. But that's what we want to see happen, is see the entire world impacted for Jesus Christ through that influence. And, you know, coaches and athletes, particularly coaches, are some of the key influencers in our culture today, in our societies around the world. And so that's what FCA, that's why we exist, to come along beside these coaches and athletes and help them to influence them and their platform to be able to not only come to Christ, but also to grow in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and with by nature of those platforms that they're on due to the gifts they've been given from God, to be able to share and live that out to all the people around them. And so that's what we seek to do each and every day. It's what we wake up every morning, all of our staff, to be able to minister to, come alongside these coaches and athletes.
Jeff, is someone who grew up in the state of North Carolina where basketball is almost God, and having participated on a very, a very competitive level in high school, some college, and even a little bit beyond college, I understand the impact of sports. And I think you said it well. Coaches, athletes are some of the greatest influencers in our culture. I love your mission statement, to see the world impacted for Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes. And I know from my knowledge of FCA that is happening on a daily basis. I wonder if you could do this, if you could share a little bit about how that is happening. Maybe give us a few specific illustrations of the powerful impact of FCA.
Well, specific examples is one of the things that we've really made a focus on is that, you know, there's a lot of ways to reach people for Christ, but within the sports world, the coach is the gatekeeper to the teams, the athletes that they are provide oversight and lead. And one of the things that we like to say is two of the most influential words in English, but literally around the world, is this: coach says. So there's a lot of things, like, you might want to have your kids, hey, clean up the room, you know, wash the car, do all these type of things, and they might sort of, okay, I'll do that, and drag their feet. But if a coach says to do that, there's just something special about that. And so there's this opportunity that with coaches and the catalytic position that they hold, what we want to do is to minister to the coach and help them see that they can be transformational in the way that they coach. A lot of coaches are very transactional. If you do this for me, I'll do this for you, whether it's playing time, et cetera, things like that. And it's very transactional. And what we want to do is speak into the sports world to the coaches and say, you could be transformational in the way that you coach, and to literally come up with a purpose statement that allows you to, in everything that you do in your program, that there's purpose in it to develop your athletes in every dimension of their being, not just their physical, but emotionally, spiritually as well. And
so,
by
Jeff,
that, yes.
I don't want to jump in on you, but do you feel in some capacities that you are actually helping and assisting parents in this process of developing character and discipline into the children's?
Absolutely. And that's what we tell the coaches, that this is not just about developing with the strategies, the tactics, the physical skill sets of the game. There are emotions involved in every athlete, all right, we've looked at four of them. And then there's the heart, capturing the heart. That's what we have the coach try and do, is to capture every bit of that athlete, which is what the parents want as well.
All right. Well, we're talking, ladies and gentlemen, to Jeff Martin. He is the Executive Director of Ministry Advancement for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And we're going to move into this next segment into specifically talking about a vast program that the FCA is involved in summer camping, in which they apply these principles. And we're going to talk to him about what they're doing, the results that they're seeing, and the goals that they're hoping to see this summer, and how you maybe can even be a part. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, today, for the first part of the program, we're very privileged to have Jeff Martin. He's the Executive Director of Ministry Advancement for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We have heard their vision statement. It is to see the world impacted for Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes. Jeff, before we get into the matter of summer camps, there is an issue that occupies a lot of time and effort on the media. I've got to ask you this question first before you talk about camps, because you've actually had to deal with it. The transgender issues have affected locker rooms. It is affecting church. It's all over the place. It's affected Boy Scouts. It's affected a lot of things. How are you dealing with this as an entity committed to the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and training? How are you dealing with it, and how has it affected FCA, in particular as your work with summer camps and all?
Well, I mean, it is a contentious issue. You know, one of the things that we focus on is the idea of what, you know, God's plan is for marriage and basically sexual purity and in what that looks like. And so, you know, we have our staff. We communicate that completely through our staff. We agree to you know, issues on, you know, what God had planned for marriage between one man, one woman, for life, and all of the different examples and the what the scripture talks about sexual purity. You know, sex is reserved for marriage, and then all of the issues that come from that, that gets confusing in our society, that changes. You know, it's constantly changing, but the scripture doesn't. So we make sure that we communicate that with our staff, that we all, every year, we've instituted that our staff have to, you know, sign and agree on that statement. And we do that every year to make sure as things change out in society that we're sticking to what that looks like from what the scripture says. And so, and that goes across, you know, across the board in all the different things that we do in FCA. When, you know, one of the things we talk about is everyone is welcome to FCA. And obviously the leadership is going to be chosen in a way that's going to reflect the Christian values and community statement that we have. But everyone's, you know, invited based on where they're coming from to be a part of that. We haven't faced anything with any, you know, transgender campers coming in. I'm sure we will, and we'll address that in a way to, you know, that would be something where they would feel definitely welcome, but not in a way that's going to compromise the you know, the safety and security and the other campers. So mm-hmm. We would okay. deal with that when it comes across, but at this point we haven't had to face that.
Okay, all right. We'll just leave it at that there for right now. Let me go right into it. Let's talk about the camping program. You have a summer camping program. Tell us a little bit about it. How many camps are involved? Where are they located? A little bit about the purpose for summer camps.
Yeah, well, we have we've been doing camps. We started as a camp back in 1956, and Our founder, Don McClanahan, who's a coach out of Oklahoma, the first thing they did was they had a camp in Estes Park, Colorado, and that's how it got started. And ever since then, it was so successful. Branch Rickey was one of the first ones that the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers, who brought in Jackie Robinson into the baseball league, and he was there at that first camp and one of the initial founders of FCA with Don McLennan. And so we've continued to grow that from that one camp in 1956 to now, where we have well over 100,000 that attended, probably, let me look at 740 camps in 40 states and 45 countries around the world. I literally had to look that up because we keep growing so fast. I was like, so we went over 100,000 last year, at 740 camps. And the thing is that, we are a global ministry and that continues to grow as well. So we're really excited about the growth and we're just trying to keep up with it.
Jeff, two of the greatest things about any ministry are the core principles that make up that ministry and then the people they choose to involve in the ministry. What are some of the key principles that in these summer camps you're seeking to inculcate into your young people? And where do you go and who do you acquire? Maybe even some big name coaches that are involved in the program that you could share with our listeners.
Well, some of the principles, we have core values of our organization. There's four of them, and those are guide rails of how we do everything in FCA, and those are integrity, serving, teamwork, and excellence. That we want to be a part of every camp, and we feel that allows us the best way to minister to and through the coach and the athlete in our camping ministries. We do have a camp theme that every year that we do. This year the camp theme is one, and it allows us to sort of rally around that. We have daily themes around that, but it's based on Philippians 1:27, talking about unity and being one. And I can't think of a better time in our country when that message should be rung clear throughout everything we do. And so that's what we'll be focusing on this year. And that's basically how we unite around those values, and then we drive to a central core theme that we communicate at all of our camps around the world.
So, Jeff, when you have the campers there, you're saying, if I heard it right, 740 camps that you will expect. Did you say 100,000 campers? 100,000 campers, is that what you said?
Yes, at 109,000 last year.
See, that's an incredible number of young people. That's quite a reach and an impact. And you said 40 states, if I heard right, 40 different states?
Yeah, 40 states and also 45 countries around the world.
See, that's an amazing thing. My question to you here is that when you have all of these campers in, and you have them for a week, I suppose this is a one-week camp?
It depends based on the field staff are the ones that set them up. We have six different types of camps, so it varies based on what they set up, what works in their area.
Okay, so when that happens, if a child, what are you looking for by the time they leave? Are you able to actually perhaps measure? In other words, normal Christian camps, look for decisions for Christ that are made, or young people who have come to trust Christ as their Savior. How do you measure certain things? And also tied with that, does FCA have any follow-through then with these campers? Are you working with local churches as an example? What are you doing to follow through to help what you've taught them in the space of a week or whatever it may be, help them to keep those principles and continue to apply them?
Yeah, definitely we always want to look at, hey, what are some ways that we can measure to look and see if what the outcomes are? Of course, you can't really, it's only the Holy Spirit that provides the outcome of spiritual decisions and output. We can look at different things, but yeah, we do measure some of those decisions, the outcomes. And last year we had 8,788 salvation decisions, and then we measure recommitments. Kids, campers, and athletes, coaches that are believers that want to really recommit their life to Christ, and that was 11,256 last year. And just a phenomenal harvest time whenever we pull these coaches and athletes out of their normal routine of life and get them in this unique camp atmosphere where they can hear, many of them, they can hear from the Lord for the first time and give their lives to Christ, and then the others, they can hear clearly and have this experience with the Lord that says, hey, I need to get better at following him. And so we see that happen every year, and we want to keep an eye on that, but again, we can't produce that. Only the Holy Spirit can.
Jeff, I know role models are a key thing in young people's lives. Who are some of the maybe very prominent coaches that you maybe bring in to impact these kids and leave with them a lasting visual of a role model?
Yeah, we have – well, one of the ones that have been to a lot of the coaches' camps for years was Tony Dungy. He would take his many times his entire coaching staff when he's down at Tampa Bay. We have different coaches' camps. And then we have a lot of different athletes that are going to show up and speak and share, whether it's from a college level or some professional athletes that will do that, and that varies every year. Tony Dungy would probably be one of the top coaches. I know that we have different pro athletes that show up, and again, these are by camp that they'll bring them in. Many times we don't even know about them from here, but they, you know, they're going to be there to invest in them and be a part of that. I know Tim Tebow's come by and done some stuff. There's a whole lot of them. I don't have a laundry list, but that's just a couple of the athletes and the coaches that'll show up at our camps. Many times just for a little bit, just to share, and then other times they're attending it. These coaches will come, and many times that's the only safe atmosphere. I mean, they get to get away from their normal routine and get with other coaches.
Jeff, we're going to have to wrap the program up quickly, but if there are people who are listening who want their kids to go to camp, is it too late? Talk to us about that briefly in just a couple of seconds, and a website that people can go to find out more about FCA.
You bet. There's a whole lot of camps out there. The best way to find out is to go to fcacamps.org. That's fcacamps.org, and you can look and search for any camps that are happening around you. And we would love to have you to send your kid or your coach out there to attend and be a part of our camps this summer.
Jeff Martin from Fellowship of Christian Athletes, thank you for being with us today. God bless you and what you're doing here this summer. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Stay with us. We're going to come right back after this break. Brent David New will come in with us, and we're going to go to the theme of government now spying on journalists. Why and at what cost?
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
If you're just joining us here on Stand in the Gap today, thank you for doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you listening and also referring this program to your friends. Put it on Facebook, Twitter, however you communicate this. If you've not downloaded our new app, please go to your iPhone or Android and just put in the words in your app store, Stand in the Gap or American Pastors Network, either one. Download the free app. We tell you in the morning what the program is going to be about, the guests that we may have, and a lot of other things you can do to communicate to us and allow us to communicate to you. You can also, on that app, partner with us financially, very easily, right off there, and we encourage you to do that. Even the smallest amount per month can be of big, big assistance. So participate with us so that this message and what we're doing here can continue to go out across America and to continue to expand on stations across this nation. We need your help in order for that to happen. In this section, we're going to now welcome in David New. He is with us, obviously. Those of you who listen to the program regularly know that he's our constitutional attorney expert. He is our historian. And today, we're going to look at, in this segment, the government. Now, according to an article yesterday in the New York Post, is spying on journalists. It's an interesting thing, ladies and gentlemen. You hear a lot about leaks. It's driving this administration crazy. Literally, I believe these leaks are being conducted in such a way so as to weaken this administration, and everything that we're seeing, there is an attempt to take classified information, to take communications that should have been private, make them public. And yes, in fact, Barack Obama did actually make this more possible, as the FISA courts even indicated just 10 days ago, by unmasking names and a host of things. But now the White House says they got to push back. They have to push back. Something is happening. There's a big deal taking place here. But this thing I saw yesterday indicates that, according to the New York Post, that the Justice Department has, and I'm looking at the article now, subpoenaed the Justice Department. This was some years ago, 4 years ago, under Barack Obama. They actually subpoenaed the Justice Department subpoenaed documents and telephone records for 20 reporters when they were trying to find what they perceived was a leak coming out of the CIA about the operation in Yemen. Well, it appears that this Department of Justice maybe has done the same thing, looking to try to find information about journalists and where leaks are coming from. That raises a big question. David New, I want to invite you in right now to the program. Is there anything about the concept of government targeting, whether it was under Barack Obama or under this administration, targeting journalists and their communications that has raises any red flags to you?
Well, it's so nice to be with you today, and I want to say how much I enjoyed the previous segments of today's program. I just think it's wonderful to have the FCA doing its work for the Lord. One thing we do want to point out is that the Constitution does provide and does discuss the issue of secrecy. If you look at Article 1, Section 5, that's Article 1, Section 5, and the third paragraph, or Clause 3, it uses the word secrecy right in the text of the Constitution. It says, and I'll quickly read it, each house shall keep a journal, that's the Senate and the House of Representatives, each house shall keep a journal of its proceedings, and from time to time publish the same, excepting such parts as may be in their judgment require secrecy. So the word secrecy does appear in the Constitution. There is a valid role for secrecy in government. Also, in Article 2, Section 2, the President is called the Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy. By definition, that means secrecy is going on. In the very next paragraph of Article 2, Section 2, the second paragraph, it says, he shall have power by and with the advice and consent of the Senate to make treaties. And that, of course, also involves secrecy. So there is a legitimate government interest to have privacy, to have, rather not privacy, but classified information, and to have it secured. And I'm very, very sad to say there appears to be some sort of cabal of people who have a security clearance in the United States from these intelligence agencies, and they are definitely, definitely working against this president to hurt him and bring him down. That is clear. But all of that being said, there are limits on government as well. And the government does not have the right to treat every American as a suspect. That's what a police state does. And I'm sad to say that's where we're going. We're breaking the speed limit getting there. There is a place for government to listen in and to try to plug the leaks on secrecy, even with the press. They don't have an absolute right to do what they do. And as long as it's done with a warrant, then the government can listen in. But it does appear that the government has gone too far. Throughout the history of the country, there have been extremes on both sides in both directions. More government exposure of what the government is doing, and even classified information, and then more secrecy, and then less. So it goes back and forth.
Dave Kistler, let me ask you here, because we've talked a lot on here about the First Amendment. It is it's a critical amendment. The press is really the only protected industry in the Constitution, and they have a right. There's an aspect about targeting journalists that does raise a concern for me. Dave mentioned that secrecy within government is something that has to happen. You have to have classified information to be able to identify that. But when you look at journalists, here it is, you know, you got leaks. According to a Rasmussen report, the numbers, 53% of Americans believe that these media leaks are treason. Now, most of those are Republicans who believe that. Less than half of Democrats believe it's a treasonous matter. But it's a big issue. It's a big problem. But, Dave Kistler, to you, what is the risk if government steps into and begins to perhaps monitor, perhaps, journalists in their collection of data?
Well, Sam, again, it's a trade-off. What you have is you have a risk created to lose actually that component of the First Amendment, that freedom of the press element. The problem, Sam, is this. The people, and I think our founders understood this, and David can speak to it, I'm sure, far more eloquently than I can, but our founders understood that in many ways the laws that we enacted and the Constitution itself was only as good as the people that were there operating within the framework. So if you have people committed to an overarching tyrannical government, that is the mindset, that is the their heart and where they're coming from, then obviously you've got major problems if they're starting to surveil journalists. If you have people, though, Sam, that are committed to the Constitution and they're just trying to stop this dangerous release of information that in many situations I believe has been treasonous, then you've got something else. So Sam, again, it goes back to biblical truth. We have a culture devoid of character and biblical truth. So, man, we got a dilemma here, Sam, and I don't know that there's really any easy answer to it.
David New, let me go back to you. You hearkened to it, and Dave Kistler just really kind of went that way. But let's talk about this a little bit. The freedoms that we have in this country, the rights we have an awful lot, a big component of self-government and limitation of self, does it not? And are we witnessing perhaps what Dave says, a jettison of truth and control? And what happens then? What does government do when people choose not to limit themselves or discipline themselves according with integrity or responsibility?
The key to a government that the framers set up limited government. They wanted the government to have limited powers, not to do all kinds of things, and that the government was not the solution to all the problems of the world. In order to have a limited government, a successful, functioning, limited government, that requires two key words, or one key word, depending on how you put it, self-control. We have to have the ability to police each and every one of us ourselves. Otherwise, you do need big government to police us because we can't control ourselves.
Wow, David New, I got to jump in on that and say, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you heard what David New clearly said, because that's exactly what our founders said. If we as citizens, as we who are in positions of authority in government or anywhere else, if we do not limit our actions, as William Penn said, according to the Ten Commandments of God, the moral law of God, if we do not do that, the only result is a stronger government, and that's when you get into totalitarian dictatorships. David New, you were right on the button. Are we almost there, in your opinion?
We are breaking the speed limit going there, and it's just frightening because the American people are so unaware of how much their lives are being interfered with by the government. And I'll tell you, your vote, ladies and gentlemen, isn't worth anything anymore. Just look at the same-sex issue. All those millions and millions of Americans who voted to keep their families intact, they were all thrown in the toilet by the United States Supreme Court.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, integrity, self-discipline, according to God's moral law, we talk about it all the time, it has to happen. As we jettison, we're into deep trouble. Now, in this last segment, we're going to come back. We're going to continue about the concept of speech. And we're going to say, what if the government is listening? They are. What are the biblical principles that should guide our speech? We're going to talk about that when we get back in just a minute.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible.
In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, as we conclude the program today, we are going to talk about this issue of speech. Wise counsel. With this, we generally have solutions segment here in the last segment. We're going to kind of put it into that category, some advice, biblical counsel on the matter of speech. The last segment we talked about the fact that government, Justice Department, approved by FISA courts, are looking at journalists trying to find out those who are receiving, perhaps not necessarily receiving, but who the leakers are of classified information. Leaks of sensitive data is critical, jeopardizing the security of our nation. 53% of Americans in a recent survey, Rasmussen reports, says that, in fact, it is treason. In fact, it is. It's serious. But we know that through all of this, the NSA, National Security Agency, and others assisting are listening to nearly every conversation you make on your cell phone, on your laptop. In reality, where you go on your internet is being tracked. It really is. It's just whether or not they choose to unmask who you are. Well, the new surveillance center set up in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, just a couple weeks ago when the president was there, if you recall, he stood in Riyadh and with the president of Egypt and the president of Saudi Arabia, together they dedicated a new surveillance center, theoretically set up to catch extremists. They said they had the ability to monitor every transaction, every communication. Middle East, theoretically, but if you can track Middle East, you can track the world. So now you've got potentially, what, two entities? The center in Egypt, I mean, Saudi Arabia, and then the NSA tracking. Bottom line is, you're being listened to. Your life is an open book. It really is something we ought to be thinking about. Dave, it raises the question, how should that affect the way we live? Let me start with you. Words can always be taken out of context. We know that. The media has shown us how they do that. Sometimes it makes no difference. Sometimes it does. But we have one or two responses. Quit speaking the truth, lest somebody hear it and address it. Or, as many I talk to says, well, it doesn't make any difference because, hey, listen, anyways, just go ahead and so what? Dave, can you give us a biblical principle or two to help a person who's listening to know how to choose their words and how to guide what they say and where they go on the internet, knowing that it's being watched? David, you.
Okay, I wasn't sure which David.
Which David? That's first. A problem when there's two Davids. David New, let's go with you first.
Yes, James 1:19 is an excellent, excellent verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. If you do those three things, you're well on your way to be an effective communicator. Ephesians 4:15 is the gold standard for speech, but speaking the truth in love. That is the secret. That is the key. When you're dealing with people that are oppose you, don't speak mean. Don't be discourteous. Speak the truth in love, because even though your words may not get through to their mind, the love in your heart that you get from God can get through to their heart. And you can communicate on a different level, a higher level, a spiritual level, when you speak the truth in love.
Speak the truth in love, ladies and gentlemen. Two things. Speak the truth and speak the truth in love. One's an attitude and one's a content. Dave Kistler, let me go to you right now, because when I think of surveillance and the fact that humanly we're being monitored, it makes me think about, wow, one day I'm going to stand before God, and I wonder what I'm going to hear then. Bring another application or two that you can think of into helping all of our listeners to understand how their speech and actions should be guided in light of the fact that surveillance is happening.
Well, Sam, Romans 14:12 says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." In other words, there's going to come a day, Sam, when we're going to stand before the holy, righteous God of heaven, and we're going to give an accounting of how we've lived our life, and certainly part of that is going to be the speech that we have said, the comments that we have made. And then Matthew 12:36, Jesus said this, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." So, Sam, what we can take as a negative thing that we're being surveilled ought to, for the sake of those of us that know Christ, ought to underscore the fact that while a government entity may be listening in, all along, well before government ever claimed the capability to do this, God has been listening in all along. And if the thought of government frightens us, what should the thought of God, not just hearing the content, but knowing the motive behind the content of our speech? So that ought to have a profound impact on us.
Dave, I'm glad you went there, because for me personally, that's something I think a lot about. Because, you know, God, we know throughout Scripture that it's the Lord who actually not only hears our speech, but he actually reads the thoughts and intents of our heart. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are concerned at all, and you ought to be, about what you say and the tone and the attitude by which you say it and the purpose for which you say what you say, before you ever say it, there is a thought. And God himself recounting and is recording far better than the NSA the very thoughts and intents of our heart. Boy, oh boy, if we were to, as God's people, just think of that, we would be much, much more careful, I think, Dave, that, and Dave and David, that what we said was the truth, and what we said was with love, because we're here to glorify God. That is the purpose we're here. The question is, are we? Well, one day we're going to have to give an account for it, ladies and gentlemen, and we really will. We will give an account for what we say. Let the NSA and all that we're hearing just be a reminder of the far greater surveillance that God's doing, even looking in our heart. And the first place is, are we right with him? As we get to close out the program, David New, let me go to you and ask you to close us in prayer. Some of these things in mind as we close, practical applications. If we all apply it, we'd be a much more effective Christian for those who are, right? Would we not?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, the secret to dealing with the gay marriage issue, with the whole issue in that area, is for the love of Christ in us to deal with this issue with love. If we had done that better, much better than we did, we would have won the issue on marriage, because that's where the victory is. We are the people that love the gay community truly, because we want them to have a healthy and natural and normal good life. It's the liberals and those people who stand for nothing and who run the morals into the gutter. Those people don't love them. We, the Christian church, love them. if we had done that better, if they knew how much we love them, I think we could have won that issue, and I think we still can.
David, close us in prayer, if you would, please. David New.
Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. Dear Father, at this time we approach thy throne of grace. We pray for America. We pray that America will return to the foundations of spirituality, of truth, and of God's word. This is where America's greatness lies. Dear Father, we thank thee for this program. We thank thee for each and every listener. We ask you would bless them in Christ's name. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today on Stand in the Gap Today. David Kistler and David New, thanks for being with us. And ladies and gentlemen, join us tomorrow. Dave Kistler and I will be back with you with a very special guest here on Stand in the Gap Today just 23 hours from now. We look forward to being with you. Until then, stand in the gap for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.